Be in the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, reading from verse 22 to the end of the chapter, concerning the Spirit-filled life and of the Spirit-filled union as it is seen not only in the marriage but also in the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, every one in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now in this passage we have the union of the Spirit-filled couple in marriage, as well as the union of the Spirit-filled church. I think it's important that we look back to verse 18 to 21, where it tells us that we are to be filled with the Spirit and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, as we have been looking in this chapter to the walk of the believer as the dear child of God, that the walk of the believer ought to be a walk which is in love in Christ, verse 2. That the walk of the believer ought to be as children of light, in verse 8. And the walk of the believer ought to be uprightly or circumspectly, as in verse 15. Now we see that in the conclusion of the chapter, that this leads to a Spirit-filled walk. That is, the believer should be Spirit-filled or filled with the Spirit, as in verse 18, that every part of the church and every part of the believer's life should be then in union and in fellowship with Christ. In union and in fellowship, because we are walking in love, we are walking in light, we are walking in righteousness or uprightness with God, and we are walking in the Spirit as we might be filled with the Spirit. And so it should follow then that the union of the husband and wife and the union of the church ought to be very similar, in that one is submitted to the other. Look at verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And so the union of the church is unique in that the people who are in fellowship with Christ are in union with Christ. And so we are in union with Christ, and those who are in union as man and wife then also model that unity of the Spirit of God which is in the church. And that's what we see as we close out the chapter. We see this unity and fellowship which is in Christ, and which is a union that is modeled in the Church of Jesus Christ. First of all, the Spirit-filled union of the husband and the wife. And what we find is going on is that Paul gives a couple of verses, then he gives a couple of verses of explanation or illustration concerning the church to help explain the husband and wife role and relationship and vice versa. And so, first of all, in verse 22 and 20-24, we find that the married life, or the Spirit-filled life, is to lead into a union where the husband and wife are also Spirit-filled and are in union with one another. And so verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. We notice the connection and union unto husbands, unto the Lord. Both are in harmony with one another. To be a Spirit-filled believer, to walk in love, to walk in light, to walk in the righteousness of Christ, to walk in the Spirit, all these things come down to a union which one has in the Lord. So even as we have that union in the Lord, we have to have that same union as a Spirit-filled believer in our relationships as husband and wives, wherein we may be married. So wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, obviously, if one is single, then one is in union with Christ. Your Spirit-filled life, then, is in union with Christ. If you're not yet married, you can't be in union with a spouse, so your union is in Christ. And that is the relationship that every believer has in Christ. The Spirit-filled life in union with Christ and His church. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So as it follows in verse 22, that husbands and wives have this union in the Lord. Now the husband is that head of the home, and Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. So here is the union there. The unity of authority and the unity of leadership and the unity of being Spirit-fed and led. Just as Christ is the one who spiritually feeds his people, we find that the husband is to be the spiritual leader in the home. And now remember, this is in relationship to couples that are Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. It isn't talking about that husband that's unsaved, or it isn't talking about the husband who isn't following the Lord and in fellowship with the Lord. This is talking about believers and of their like union in Christ and of their like filling in the Holy Spirit. And so it's the ideal relationship, just as Christ has given us the church as his ideal church. And as we know, every group of believers are not the ideal, but Christ sets forth the ideal for us. That's where the definition comes in. Christ sets forth the ideal in his church, in the home. And that is how we are to look at it. And so, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands are the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. And then it goes on to give somewhat of an explanation or illustration, if you will, in this regard, in verse 24 and through to verse 27. Spirit-filled unions reveal or relate or illustrate Christ and the church. And so as we read on, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And again, the union and the fellowship is in Christ. If one is in Christ, then that relationship is to reflect in the home and should be according to being Spirit-filled. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So again, the union and the fellowship is in Christ. Being Spirit-filled and Spirit-led is after the model of the church and after Christ himself. Therefore, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so we find this the saving, sacrificial relationship with Christ and his church, and this sacrificial relationship with the husband and his wife. That is, he willingly guides and directs and leads and gives unto his wife all that she needs as well. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the word of God. And so what do we have then? We have the union, or the Spirit-filled union of Christ and the church, and the Spirit-filled union of a love relationship. That is, it is all tenured by the idea of being Spirit-filled. And there are a lot of imperfect marriages, we know that. And by the same token, there are a lot of imperfect churches. But remember, this is the ideal. We don't come to the Scripture to see the exception. We come to see the Scripture to see what is taught as the ideal for us to follow. And this is the ideal. This is what God intends. Now, we know that sometimes things don't work out entirely as the ideal is related to us in the Scripture. Sometimes there are unsaved spouses, either husband or wife. Sometimes there are broken relationships. Sometimes there are various other things that enter into the picture that change this ideal. But that does not change the fact that the ideal is set forth in the Scripture as what we are to follow. And if we have any intention upon following the Spirit-filled life as a true child of God, then we must seek to exemplify that which is Spirit-filled. That is the Spirit-filled life and the union of the Spirit-filled marriage, the union of the Spirit-filled church. We find that this is a Spirit-filled love relationship. A man and a wife are to have a Spirit-filled love relationship. The church is to operate on the principle of a Spirit-filled love relationship in Christ. Just as we were talking this morning about how that the church at Ephesus was rebuked, if you will, because of its laxness in keeping its first love, we find that it probably is because of this very thing, that is, the Spirit-filled aspect of one's life. And so it's important that we have a Spirit-filled love relationship. Verse 26, let's start with 26 again, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Now, we know that sanctification is that work of God. Sanctification to make holy, to separate unto. And God, what does God want to do? He wants his church to be holy and separated unto him. And not only so, but God wants those people who are married to be holy and separate unto one another. That is, that if there is to be a moral continuation of the marriage relationship in true fidelity, then they must be holy and separate unto one another. And so to be, to have this sanctified relationship and sanctified union, whether it be in the marriage or be in the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing or the cleansing. The sanctifying agent is the Word of God, by the Word. So what does the Word of God do? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We remember in John chapter 17, Jesus speaking those words in his high priestly prayer unto the Heavenly Father, saying unto the Father concerning his own disciples, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word. And that is what is to take place in the church. That is what is to take place in the home. As the couples are spirit-filled in the home, they are sanctified by the Word of God in prayer. As the church is in union with Christ and spirit-filled, we are sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. And so we find that we might be sanctified, just as the church might be sanctified, and cleansed by the washing of the water, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Well, when we think about spot and wrinkle, it's kind of like the thing that defiles. The church isn't to have spot and wrinkles. I suppose this relates more to women and their idea of cleaning, as they might do the laundry and they're put in some awl or some other kind of detergent, and that they don't want those spots in the clothing after they've washed them, and so they have to really make sure that they use the right kind of cleansing agent to make sure that those spots get removed. The Word of God does what? It is a cleansing agent, sanctified by the Word of God. God's Word. And so we find that that is a very important cleanser, to cleanse the soul and the spirit, repentance and faith and forgiveness and so forth and so on. We recognize that the Spirit of God does that work in us as we submit to the Spirit. That he might present it to himself, the church, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. And, of course, if you're going to have a nice, clean, spot-free garment, you don't want any wrinkles in it. It has to be not only spot-free, but wrinkle-free in the sense of any kind of other defilement that might be upon the garment. Or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, continuing the same metaphor, it does not want to have any blemishes. The church should not have blemishes. The marriage relationship should not have blemishes. There should not be any defilement upon the church. There should not be any defilement in the marriage relationship. And the one thing that can accomplish that is the sanctifying of the Lord. The sanctifying of the Lord by the Word of God. And only then can it be holy and without blemish. Only then. In the Old Testament, the priest must be holy unto God, but the priest had to be blemish-free as well. Not only to wear certain sanctified garments of the priesthood, but if there was any imperfection in the person who was to be priest, he could not be a priest. Any kind of physical imperfection in the priest, he was disqualified. Now that may seem kind of harsh, but this, remember, the Old Testament was to set forth a order or principle and a like as refinement, if you will, of God's program for salvation and for sanctification and for all that pertained unto the idea of sacrifice and offering, etc., that had to do with the foreshadowing of Christ. Christ was to become our high priest. Would he have any blemishes in him? No. He was holy, completely holy and without blemish in any way, sinless, if you will. And so the church should be also holy and without blemish, and is only through this sanctifying, this spirit-filled aspect of the church life, of the church as an organism of God. And of course, even relating this to the marriage union, we know that the marriage union is to be one which is to be holy and without blemish as well. So ought men to love their own bodies. So ought men to love their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Just as men love their own bodies. There is always the exception of people who defile themselves in some way, but they are in no way spirit-filled, and they are in no way a model of Christ and His church. We're talking about the model of Christ and His church. And what do spirit-filled believers do? But they sanctify themselves unto the Lord. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, that ye are not your own, that ye are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, in other words, which belong to God. So here is the believer spirit-filled, the believer sanctified, the believer cleansed, the believer who knows that he is the picture or an illustration. His relationship becomes that of Christ and the church, and he is to be without blemish. And so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, just as much as we love ourselves, and we should love ourselves even as Christ also loved us. We ought to love ourselves in the true sense of being spirit-filled. We ought to love us. Not in any perverted sense, but in the true sense of being spirit-filled, we ought to love our own selves. We are created in the image and likeness of God. And so every part of us is to be given over to God in that spirit-filled sense, and we are to love and cherish our own selves. We are to love and cherish our wives. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And so we do nourish and cherish, love our own bodies. And so this relationship, this spirit-filled union, this spirit-filled union of husband and wife, the spirit-filled union of Christ and the church, the spirit-filled love relationship, Christ and the church, Christ loved the church, the husband is to love the church, just as Christ loved the church, husbands are to love their wives. And so in a sense then, the wife becomes a picture of the church, and the husband becomes a picture of Christ. So we have this spirit-filled love relationship, a picture of Christ and the church. Verse 30, for we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. In what sense? Well, Just as the husband and wife come together and become one flesh, Christ and the church come together and become one. How does Christ and the church become one? Because Christ is the author of our salvation. He is the one, by the Holy Spirit, which we are to be filled with, he is the one who gives birth to the church, to the believer, to the child of God. For we are, and so upon this basis of what we have said, we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So just as the husband and wife come together and they become one. Now remember, this is the ideal. This isn't talking about any of those exceptions out there or perverted aspects of what goes on in the world. This is talking about the ideal. And the ideal of the spirit-filled union is that the spirit-filled union of the husband and wife is to model Christ and the church. The spirit-filled union of Christ and the church is how we come into union. That is, we are one in Christ. The Spirit-filled love relationship is in Christ. A picture of Christ and the church. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So they come together, they are one. They are one in flesh, one in spirit. And this is the great mystery, he says in verse 32. This is a great mystery, but, he says, let me tell you what it is. I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So, speaking concerning verse 32, concerning that great mystery, he speaks concerning Christ and the church. Now, just to back up just a moment and say this. In the ideal relationship, the husband and the wife are spirit-filled. That's why the union is so perfect. So both are spirit-filled. And Jesus Christ and his church are spirit-filled. That's why it is without blemish and without spot. And because of that, we find that it models this great mystery, Christ and the church. And so this is the spirit-filled union. It culminates what we have been talking about here in chapter 5. To walk in love, to walk in the light, to walk circumspectly or uprightly as those that are righteous in Christ, to walk in the Spirit, then is to culminate in this ideal union of the husband and wife, modeling Christ and the church, the union of Christ and the church. And it's because they are in Christ and because they are spirit filled. Look to the Lord. Loving Father, we thank you for your word to us. Lord, we know that there are many broken relationships, and you are in the business of healing them. And at any time they can be healed by coming to the Lord and seeking that healing and forgiveness which is in Christ. Lord, we pray that you will bless the families and the church of the family, the families of the church in Christ, that they may be spirit-filled, that we may model Christ and the church. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.